If you are visiting with us, thank you so much for being here. We're thrilled that you are with us. And if you are listening on the radio or watching on Facebook, thank you for tuning in with us. I know we've got a bigger percentage than we'd like to have that are under the weather right now, so our Facebook audience is up. And so thank you for being part of our worship, even though you're a tad under the weather. I guess it was 22 years ago now. I made the longest flight of my life with George Wakefield, and about a third of you will remember George Wakefield. He was one of our deacons for many years and then one of our elders, and the elders had sent George and I to Brazil to look at the ministry that was going on there. And I had never taken a super long flight. Everything I had ever been on in a plane was kind of a little puddle jumper that in this part of the world doesn't really jump over puddles. And we flew over the ocean. And if you've listened to me for the last 25 years, you know that water and I are not friends. And George knows that. And so, you know, those big giant planes have those little headrests and they have the little TV in the headrest. And you can tune that TV into a TV show, which is what I was doing, or you can tune it into the map that shows you where you are in the world. Well, George thought he would be funny, and so he turned off my TV show and put it on the map and said, "Hey, look, we're right over the Bermuda Triangle, and we're all going to die." And to this day, I still don't really like George that much. And so I had to breathe deep, and I had to pray, and I kept thinking, if we crash in the water or if we crash in the land, the whole plane's going to blow up anyway, so I'll be fine. I had to have just a tad bit of faith, even when water was in the way. And that is our story this morning. We've got to have a little faith, even when water is in the way. Okay, my guess is this is probably one of the most popular gospel stories that almost all of you know just as well as I do. In fact, Zane, I was trying to get Zane to preach for me. I said, "Zane, you know the story of Jesus walking on the water just as good as the preacher does," and he still didn't want to preach. But it's a story we all know. And the question I want us to raise is, do we want to live on a boat or do we want to walk on the water? Okay, think of that as we read our text. Matthew chapter 14. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It's a ghost." And they cried out in fear. Terror might be a better word. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Don't be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." And so Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And he began to sink, and he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why do you doubt?" And when they had gotten into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, Truly, you are the Son of God. Okay, of all the gospel stories, this is in my top 10 favorites because I couldn't do what Peter does and I want to. I've always thought, what does Peter remember? When Peter is recalling this as he's telling the story of Jesus, or maybe as he's telling Mark, Peter seems to be the voice behind Mark's telling of the gospel, and even though we've got Matthew's version here, Mark will tell a similar story. I wonder what Peter remembers. I wonder if Peter remembers the exhilaration. I wonder if Peter remembers the sound of the wind. I wonder if Peter remembers the hand of Jesus that said, "Come," or if he just remembered the hand of Jesus that grabbed and saved. What's interesting is, in many ways, he failed. And often we tell this story from the angle that Peter lost sight of Jesus and that Peter focused on the wind, and all of that is true because all of that is accurate, but Peter fails, but only to a degree. Now, it's a big degree, because he sinks like a rock, but at least he got out of the boat. What intrigues me about this story is I've always wondered who Jesus is talking to when he says, "Oh, you of little faith." Is he just talking to the audience of the one that he has pulled out of the water, as in Peter? Or is he talking to the other 11 on the boat? Because it seems in the midst of this story, only Peter was willing to take the risk and step out on the waves and into the wind and into the crazy, and at least for a while, and who knows how long he stood on the water or how long he walked on it for that matter. At least he was willing to get out of the boat. In many sense, when I read this story now, I see Peter as at least successful for a while, but I see 11 bigger failures than him, because 11 never even asked to get out of the boat. And at least Peter is willing to say, "Call me out to you, and if you call me out to you, I will come." And all the rest are silent. As I was reading a lot this week on this text, I came across this quote, and I love this quote. The quote goes like this: "I'd rather be an inept water walker than an inactive boat potato." Now, hear that again. "I'd rather be an inept water walker than an inactive boat potato." Okay, so I think one of the messages that ought to come out of this text is that we were made for simply more than avoiding failure. We weren't just created so that we could look at everything around us and make the safe choices. Okay, I need to probably do some confessional stuff. I am a safe choice kind of guy, and I take very few risks. When I go around a curve and there's a steep bank, I go around the curve slower than it says, and I hold on tight with two hands, and Nikki kind of mocks me a little bit every now and then, and I get a tad nervous. I want to be safe. When it comes to things I was doing in my younger days, I always took the safe side. I never was daring. I never went as far to the edge as I could. I always made sure that there wasn't going to be failure. And in doing that, I don't know if I've ever taken that many risks. But sometimes the call from God is to take a risk. And certainly Peter knows that. I mean, certainly Peter realizes in the midst of this story that the call from God to go ahead and come is a risk, but it's worth it to him. And so often we try to be safe, and if we're going to be safe, we're never going to get out of the boat, and if we never get on the boat, we're never going to have the chance to walk on the water. And I know I'm preaching to the choir here for a second, and I had to preach this sermon to me all week. When I think back at moments I've taken a risk, there are one or two moments I crashed and burned. But there are a few moments when I took a risk and God showed me what he was going to do through that risk. Through the willingness to get out of my comfort zone, through the willingness to put my fears to the side, through my willingness to take a step in faith saying, "I really think this is the way God is guiding and leading me, so I'm going to follow this path." And God has said, "Thanks for getting out of the boat. Now keep your eyes on me." And my guess is you have those stories too. Because what Jesus does through the gospel is he offers his disciples, and then I believe if he offers it to his disciples, then he's offering it to his disciples now, that you've got the chance to change the world. But you can't do it safely. You can't do it hiding. You can't do it in the safety of the boat, even though the waves are crashing. You've got to take a step out in faith. And sitting and watching somebody else doing something has become the norm in the American church. Well, let's just let them handle it. I'm a little nervous about telling my neighbors about Jesus, so I'm going to let the preacher do it. And I'm a little bit fearful about taking a risk and going out and helping at a homeless shelter or helping at the women's battered shelter or helping here or helping there, because it might put me in harm's way and it might get me in a place that... And so we stay in the boat. Or in our case, we stay in the safety of our building. Okay, I think this is one of my favorite places to be, is this room. I love being in this room and I love being with you people because it's safe, and I know for the most part you like me and I like you. And nobody's going to call me names, and nobody's going to be mean to me, and nobody's going to ignore me, and nobody's going to say, "You're a stupid Christian," in this room. And that's safe. And that's comfortable. But that's not the call of Jesus. And I want to learn to walk in the water. So here's what I learned from this story. The first thing is to walk on the water, the call will always require more faith. Okay, every single time when Jesus says, here is what I want you to do, it is followed up in some form or fashion, either immediately or within the very near future in the text, with a passage on faith. He's going to say, okay, here is the call of God. You go and do this. Now you trust in me. And I think what he's trying to say throughout those stories is that he's going to show up. And my guess is if I asked you in your life, when have you seen Jesus show up, you would say there are moments he showed up when you least expected it. But he was there to help you, and he was there because you called on him, and he was not going to let you sink, but he was going to be with you. The other thing I think that is important in regard to faith is he's, I believe, going to give us the ability. And this may sound strange for a second, but I think he's going to give us the power to do what he's asked us to. Now, nobody can walk on water but Jesus and Peter. I'm pretty sure if I went out to Lake Van and started walking on the water, I would last for one step because I'm not created to walk on the water. And the truth of the matter is the laws of physics prevent me from walking on the water. What Jesus does is he gives us the ability and the power to accomplish those things that we don't think we can do. And we've got to trust that. And isn't that what faith is? Isn't faith believing something even if I can't see it and even if I can't understand it and frankly, even if I can't fathom it, saying if this is what Jesus said, then I'm going to believe it. And that's important. But the second thing is whenever Jesus gives us assignments, he always is going to say, you got to face some fear. Okay, remember in the midst of that story, so most of these, not most, at least some of the guys on the boat, they are accomplished fishermen, which means they've been in a storm or two. Sea of Galilee, which is where they're at, is kind of notorious for winds that would come off the mountain, and that sea could go from nice and pretty and calm to crazy in just seconds. And so you've got at least four on this boat, and Peter's one of those four, but you've got at least four on that boat who know exactly what can happen on this, and yet in the midst of that text, they are still scared, and then they see the ghost in their brain, which isn't a ghost, and then they're terrified. And remember what Jesus says? Do not fear. Okay, so some of my greatest obstacles in stepping out in faith is first, am I willing to get out of the boat? But second is, am I going to be strong enough to do what God has put in front of me? And usually that comes back to facing my fears. See, the command found most often in the Bible is not love one another, oddly enough. We think of love one another being one of those commands that is all over the Bible. The number one command in the New Testament is do not fear. You think maybe there's a reason why that appears over and over and over. Because God knows his people. God knows us, and God knows our tendencies to want to be safe, and God knows our tendencies to want to take a step back and make sure everything's okay, and maybe to stay in the boat or to stay in the church building. And so he's going to say over and over, don't be afraid. And yet being afraid is the number one reason we use to avoid doing what God has called us to do. What I find interesting is Jesus could have done something different in this story, but he doesn't. See, if I was on the boat, which I wouldn't have been, and if I was saying, ask me to walk on the water, which I wouldn't have asked, I would have maybe specified it with this line, could you calm the storm first? Jesus doesn't do that. Now, Jesus could have very easily said, when Peter says, command me to come to you, he said, all right, let's do this. So he could have calmed the water, which he does afterwards, but instead he leaves the wave and he leaves the wind and he could have calmed the storm first, but instead he wants Peter, I believe, to face his fear because sometimes facing that fear is the price of growth. Sometimes confronting those things that make us nervous, confronting those things that make us uncomfortable, confronting those things that make us stay in the boat, that the price of growing in our discipleship is facing those things and getting past them. I'm not very good at that. Years ago, we were in New York, and we were at a place called The Rock, or 30 Rock, or something like that. It's the second, now it's probably the third, but one of the tallest buildings in New York. And for $20, you can go all the way to the top, and you can see all of New York and New Jersey. I don't know, if it's not crazy with pollution, you could probably see Statue of Liberty and who knows what else. And I stayed on the ground. And I thought, I'm scared of heights. I'm scared of falling off the building, even though no one has ever fallen off the building. And Nikki comes down with all of these pictures, and she can see every borough in New York, and she can see the Statue of Liberty, and she can see all of the things that are so famous in New York City. And all I could see was my little table and a cup of coffee, because I was afraid to go up the elevator and look over the edge. Now, it's one thing to be scared of heights. It's another thing to be scared of the very thing that Jesus has called us to do. Part of my price of growth needs to be to take a step out, to get out of the boat, to get out of the safety of the church, to be willing to go into a world that may not agree with what I say and may make fun of me and may mock me and may say one of 100 other things and still believe and live the convictions that we have. And so the call is to get out of the boat. Have you ever done what Peter's done? Have you ever taken some great move of faith? Probably the simplest illustration is one of our young guys. He said, man, I saw this girl for a long time, and she was pretty, and she was smart, and she loved Jesus, and everybody kept saying, you should ask her out, you should ask her out, and I was scared, and I was nervous, and I prayed about it, and finally I got the gumption to ask the girl out, and before you know it, she said yes, and then we courted for a few years, and now we've been married 50. It was worth the step out in fear. It was worth that I'm concerned and I'm nervous and I'm scared to go out and make that move and trust in God. See, staying in the boat makes sense. It's safe. But it's not what Jesus asked for. Okay, another story that Jesus tells, and this is really just a simple story. We call it a parable. But in Matthew 25, he tells this parable. And we're not going to read the parable. I just want to tell it to you. He says, there's this man who goes away on a journey, and as he's getting ready to go away on his journey, he calls three of his people before him, and this one he gives 5 talents, and this one he gives 2 talents, and this one he gives 1 talent, and he says, I'm going to be gone for a while, you take care of business, and we'll talk about it when I get back. And so off the guy goes, and then he comes back, and he gets his three guys in front of him again, and he says, okay, tell me what's going on. And the one who's got 5 says, I've taken your 5, and I've turned it into 5 more. Here's your 10. And the one who's got 2 says, I've taken your 2, and I've turned it into 2 more, and here's your 4. And the one says, well, here's your 1. And I was scared, and I knew what you did, and so I buried it in the ground. And I've dug it back up. Here's your 1. We get this line. But his master answered him, you wicked and slothful, lazy is kind of the word he's going for. You wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I've not sown, and you gather where I've scattered no seed. Okay, I understand Jesus saying, you lazy fella. I mean, look at the other two guys. They took 5 and made it to 10, and they took 2 and went to 4, and you didn't even try anything at all. Instead, you buried it in the ground. I understand lazy, but he throws in that phrase wicked, and that makes me a little nervous. Because that tells me all of these times I've been content, whether it's because of laziness or because of fear or whatever reason, that maybe I ought to watch out that I'm treading on some thin ice. See, Jesus seems to have no patience with people who would rather stay trapped in their tradition and their church house instead of tap into the power of Almighty God. And how often are we guilty of that? How often are we guilty of staying where we're comfortable and staying where it's safe instead of tapping into the power of God? Okay, I love this line from 1 Peter chapter 3. And I can't help that when Peter writes, he thinks back to moments that he's had with Jesus. And maybe he's coming back to this whole story of walking on the water. Peter writes this, "But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled." Okay, so Peter's getting a little persecution from the outside. The church is getting pressure from the outside. "But in your hearts, honor Christ." Okay, that's interesting where he starts. In your heart. So if you've got the pressure on you, and if things aren't going the way it should, here's what we're going to do. We're going to honor Christ the Lord as holy and be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. And he goes on from there. Notice what he says. First, he's going to say, "Have no fear." And then he's going to say, "But enthrone Christ." Okay, I think that is Peter's way of saying is the only way to destroy our fears is to enthrone something that is far more powerful than them. And a lot of us have got some fears when it comes to being God's people in this place. And if we're going to conquer those fears, we're going to enthrone Christ. Okay, the third thing that comes out of this text is that we need to get in the water because that's where Jesus is. Jesus is out there. Peter says, "Call me, command me to come to you." And I see, most of you know this, I see everything in like a movie. I just see Jesus saying, "Come on." And out he goes. See, water walkers, it's a silly phrase, but I like it. Water walkers want to be in the presence of God. Okay, I believe when we are in this place and we are in the midst of worship, we are in the presence of God. I also believe when I am out there in the coffee shop and I've got someone who's asking super important spiritual questions that I am in the presence of God. And I believe when I'm pouring soup into a bowl at a soup kitchen, or when I'm putting a roof on at Habitat for Humanity, or I'm doing whatever it is that's going on in my life that takes me out of the safe place and into the world, that Jesus is with me. Because I'm reminded of this little thing that he said in Matthew 28, "Go into all the world and teach the gospel." And then he's going to say, and lo, I'm going to quote the old King James like when I was a kid, "And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end." So we got to get in the water. Okay, I want to ask a difficult question, and then I want to give you time to think about it before we pray over it. But what would you do with a bit more faith? Okay, so just think about that question for a second. What would you do with a bit more faith? Or maybe phrase it this way and fill in the blank. God, grant me more faith to then fill in the blank. Okay, I'm going to leave you with your thoughts. Not for long enough, because some of you will run too far. I'm going to leave you with your thoughts for just a second, then we're going to pray. Father, you have heard everyone in this room fill in the blank to grant me more faith too. And we ask you to do exactly that. We ask you to embolden us. We ask you to push us. We ask you to not only invite us out of the boat, but maybe if we need it, maybe grab our hand and tow us out of the boat. And we ask that those things that make us nervous and those things that make us afraid that you have called us to do, we ask you to release our fear and restore our trust in you, because that's where it matters. And may we take a step in faith. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we come and sing our invitation song, I want us to sing a different song. And you may not know it very well, but I want us to sing a simple song called "He Is Able." Okay, Kent?
He is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns me today. He is able, more than able, to handle anything that comes my way. He is able, more than able, to do much more than I could ever dream. He is able, more than able, to make me what he wants me to be. I will trust him, always trust him. When I can't predict my life's rise or fall, I will trust him, always trust him. When I can't understand my life at all, I will trust him, yes, I'll trust him to make all things to work good to me. I will trust him, always trust him, to make me what he wants me to be.
I love that line of the second verse, and that's the newer verse that we don't know. I will trust him. And the reason I will trust him is because of the first verse, because he is able. See, Jesus' gift to you is the power and ability to do what he is called. I believe our gift from him is to get out of the boat. And so let's get out of the boat. Maybe you're here this morning and you're wrestling with how to get out of the boat. You're not alone in the boat. And maybe we need each other to help encourage us to get us out of the boat. But if you need me, or if you need our elders, or if you're ready to be baptized, or if you just need the prayers of this church, I'm going to be there. Elders are all through this room.